morning. Let's see your Bibles this morning. Amen. Word. That's right. That's right. Amen. Amen. Turn to the book of Acts, chapter 2. Acts, chapter 2. Continue our study in Acts. I was married in September of 1984, and I wanted to have babies, children, right away, and my wife wanted to wait, so we prayed and agreed to do it right away. Nah, for real, we did pray about it, and God bless us, and we've had three children, and every time one of my children was born, but especially the first one because we had never done it, just so excited. She was in labor 12 hours, 24 hours, and 48 hours, respectively. Every time she went into labor, it doubled. The length doubled. And I know it's supposed to get easier, but it got harder for her for some reason. I don't know if they were sin in her life. I don't know. I'd have just said, no, I'm only kidding. But it did get harder for her. But every time one of my children was born, it was the most amazing thing. And what's so amazing about it is that it's never the same. Even if you talk to the doctors who deliver the babies, they'll tell you that they are blown away every time they see a baby come out of the womb. Because you have to understand, this little person is living in water for 40 weeks. 40 weeks a woman's pregnant. And the baby lives in water, doesn't breathe any oxygen through the mouth. And then they come out, and all of a sudden they can breathe. And their heart beats and all this. It's just absolutely amazing. And when you try to explain to somebody, you really can't. You could talk about what it looked like. I mean, when kids are born, they usually have a cone head because when they come through the vaginal canal, the head is very soft and it bends into a point in order to come out. And some kids will have a cone head for, you know, a month or a few years, as I see some of y'all. But I'm not one to gossip, so I'm not going to say anything. My daughter had a cone head. You know, she had a cone head for a couple months or 6 weeks or so. She looked like Bobby Brown. She had this big bump to the side because her cone was on the side. And my son, who has a well-documented big head, his head wasn't coned. It was just huge. And we joke about it all the time. He always says, Dad, talk about my head. Talk about my head. Sometimes when I talk about his head and, like, when I go to conferences, people will come up to me at these youth conferences and say, you know, they're real nervous because they're going to confront me and correct me. You know, Ms. McPherson, I don't think it's right. You speaking about your kid like that. And I'm like, you know, don't worry. It's my kid, and I'm going to do what I want to do. But he loves it. He really does. And the thing about it is that I'm like, I'll be in Canada or, you know, New York, and I'm like, he's not even here. What are you worried about it for? But he loves me talking about his head. But he does have a big head, and he's kind of grown into it. He's probably going to be about 9 feet tall when it looks normal. But you know, when he was born, his head was stuck for 5 hours. And but same thing, when he came out, just, you know, it's just amazing to see these funny colored human beings come out of another person and all of a sudden be a person. And babies have such beautiful smells. I mean, they try to make baby oil, but nothing's like the smell of a baby. I mean, if you ever know somebody with a baby, and you might want to know them a little bit before you do this. But I love to, you know, don't go up and say, hey, can I smell your baby? Oh, yeah, I got to change that diaper. Go ahead, you know. You don't even got to get real close. Just stand right there. Just when the wind comes. But babies have such sweet, sweet smells, the smell God has made. They make, you know, beautiful sounds. My wife would hear our children in the bed. You know, they can go like this. Yeah, I mean, we're asleep. They're down the hall, around the hall, and behind the door, under blankets. We're dead asleep, 3 o'clock in the morning. And the baby goes, and she jumps up, goes down. Us fellas was, what happened, you know? But they make baby sounds, and you get to know their sounds. You get to know their smells. You get to know if they need to be changed. You get to know if they need to be changed now versus an hour from now. And then you watch them grow. And ever since my kids have been growing, I've been praying for their husbands and wives because they were born. I mean, I would imagine they're born by now, at least, if not before they were born. But what I want to talk to you today about is the birth of the church. What was it like when God started the church? And that's exactly what we're going to look at tonight. Because when the church was born, there were sounds and sights and miracles when the church was born. And we're also going to talk about why he birthed the church. Because the reason there is a specific reason we're here. We are not here to hear me talk. This church does not exist to hear me talk or for us to sing songs. That's part of it, but that's not the reason why. Jesus didn't come just so we can have a cross to put around our neck for jewelry. He didn't come so we can have a religion. Came to set people free. Amen? So let's look at this. Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, the birth of the church. We're going to read the first 13 verses. Let's read it. It says, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. Sound effects. I went to college for that. And it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And they were dwelling in Jerusalem, Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused because everyone heard them speaking in his own language. Then they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, look, are not all these who speak Galileans? How is it that we hear each one in our own language in which we were born? Parthians and Medes, Elamites, those dwelling in Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and parts of Libya. Let me turn my page. Adjoining Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them speaking in our own tongues the wonderful works of God. So they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, whatever could this mean? Others mocking said, they are full of new wine. Dear Lord, I pray you help us to understand this. Help us to receive the responsibility of what happened in those 13 verses. In Jesus' name, amen. The Bible says in verse 1, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, there are three holidays in the Jewish culture where all the people are supposed to come to Jerusalem. Passover, the Feast of Tabernacles, and Pentecost. And Pentecost was 50 days after the barley harvest started. And when they would reap the harvest, for 50 days they would count, and then Pentecost would come and the barley harvest would be over. And they would come to Jerusalem to thank God and offer up an offering of bread, leavened bread, to God. So at this time, all these people have come from all over the world. As I read there, the people from Rome and Egypt, the Bible says people from all over the world had come to Jerusalem. So Jerusalem was full of people from all over the world. Now, you have to understand something. God is not stupid. Do you guys know that? Say amen. God is very intelligent, and if God has a plan to get the gospel out to people around the world, guess what he's going to do? He's going to do it in a very economical way. He's going to preach it to them when they're all in one place. So what God did is he set up this holiday. All the people were there. And look what it says. And look what it says. Remember last week we talked about that the disciples were in one place praying, waiting for the Holy Spirit. Matter of fact, if you don't remember, let's look back at verse 4 of chapter 1. Look what's verse 4 of chapter 1. Let's get you caught up here. In verse 4 of chapter 1, it says, being assembled together with them, Jesus commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the Pentecost. He knew that this was going to be the day. God has a specific timetable for things. Do you know that, right? A lot of times y'all are praying for something to happen and praying for God to answer you. God knows he's going to answer you. And he knows it's coming right here. And he just knows you don't know. That's why you have to have faith and keep praying. Because he has a timetable. He knows what he's doing. So it says, look what it says. Being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise. Guess when that was going to be? When everybody else was going to be there. But he didn't tell them that. He just said, wait, right? And it says, the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard of me, For John truly baptized you with the water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Look at verse 8. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the end of the earth. So what did he tell him? He says, look, I want you to wait in Jerusalem. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit, and I'm going to give you power to be my witnesses. So they waited, and they prayed, and they prayed. And I think, I'm guessing on this, that as they saw Pentecost come, and as they saw people started coming from around the world, and I only guess this because this is what I would have thought, God's going to do it when the people are here. He's going to do it when all the people are here. He called a meeting. So he got all these people coming from all, the Bible says, every nation, all over the world, coming to Jerusalem to thank God for the harvest, the wheat harvest. And guess what? God's going to do something different. He's going to pour out his Holy Spirit. There are four, there's a lot of major events in Christianity. One is the birth of Jesus Christ of a virgin. In Isaiah, God prophesied that of the Savior would be born of a virgin. The Bible says that, and he was. Incredible act in Christianity, event. Another incredible event was the death of Jesus when he died on the cross for our sin. The Bible says we're all sinners. The Bible says we can't forgive ourselves or cleanse ourselves. So he had to send the Savior into the world. He did that supernaturally through a virgin. Then that Savior died on the cross to pay for our sin. We're all sinners. Without that death, we can never pay for our sin. Incredible, important event in Christianity. I was driving down the street 2 days ago with my wife, and I started confessing to my wife because I was confessing I haven't been a good, not husband, but good honeydoer. There's a lot of honeydews around my house I haven't done. I was like, Deb, you know, I'm really sorry. I haven't been a good husband, and I haven't, you know, I've just been really bad, and, you know, blah, blah, blah. Because Saturday I was going to do a lot of it, and I was really feeling bad that I hadn't done it. So I was repenting, you know, sorry. And she said, oh, no, honey, don't worry, schmuckums, and, you know. That's not what she said. She said, don't worry about it. That's okay. You're busy. I said, no. I really have no excuse. Being busy is not an excuse. I just didn't do it. And she says, no, you've been real busy. You have a lot on your mind. I said, look. And I started naming the stuff that I didn't do and why I didn't do it. And she says, yeah, you have been kind of lazy. If you really think about it, you have lagged. And I said, I know, I'm sorry. But you know what? If you really think about it, all of us in here are doomed without Christ. And you can kind of say, I'm kind of a good person. You can kind of say, well, you know, I'm not that bad. But when you really think about it, without Christ, we are toast. We're sinners. And some of y'all got issues today, problems. Guess what? You need God. You a doctor, a counselor, a pastor. Now, those people can kind of help you, but in the end, you need God. You need forgiveness. You need the Holy Spirit to fill you and cleanse you. That's what you need. You have to get to that point. And you have to accept that as bare bones fact, you need God. And what God has for you is better than what you got for you. So what happened was Jesus was born of a virgin to kind of facilitate that. He died on the cross to facilitate the forgiveness. And guess what? The other incredible event in Christianity is he rose from the dead. He overcame death. Death has no sting. Oh, yes, my body will be buried someday, but my soul, my spirit is going to heaven. So I'm not going to die. I'm not going to die. So that was an incredible, incredible event in Christianity. But the other incredible event is the one we're talking about today, Pentecost. Because when Jesus went, you know what he says? I'm going to go, but then I'm going to send the Holy Spirit who's going to be with you forever. He's going to speak to you. He's going to empower you. He's going to open up your eyes. And that's what's happening here. Look what it says in verse 1. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, chapter 2, verse 1. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, united, focus, praying. We had a prayer meeting this morning, and we prayed through all SIPA, which is, you're going to all learn that. Admire God as A, W is wait, C is confess, I is intercede for other people, P is petition for yourself, and A is admire God, all SIPA, and you pray focus. You pray united. That's what these people were doing. They weren't praying all SIPA necessarily,
But they were united, focused. I know what they were praying for, the Holy Spirit, because God told them to. They were praying that God would pour out his Holy Spirit. And look what it says. And suddenly, there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Imagine we're sitting in here, and all of a sudden, the windows are closed, right? There's no windows, and all of a sudden, all y'all's hair, who can be blown? The reason my hair wouldn't be blown would just kind of like do this, right? But some of your hair can go. Just imagine all y'all's, but not a wind. A wind. This is God. God said, Holy Spirit, go down there. You know what the Bible says in John 3? Let me read it to you. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said this to you. You must be born again. The wind, watch this. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it goes. So is everyone who's born of the Spirit. The wind. The Holy Spirit was like the wind. You don't know where he comes from. You don't know where he's going, but you know he's there. I spent the night in the desert a couple years ago. I did a 24 hours. Actually, it was 25 hours, but I wanted to spend the night all by myself. I'm not that kind of a camping person. I'm just, you know, I'm more of a sitting in the house, hotel person. But I wanted to go, you know, be like Jesus, right? I'm going to go out there and I'm going to hear God. And so I fasted. I got my little, I got a friend of mine. He gave me all his tent stuff. And he went out with me. He spent the night where on the other side of this little mountain hill. And I was on this side and we were going to meet the next day. So we spent the whole day alone. So I got out there and I'm going to be quiet before God, right? I get out there, I build my tent real fast. And I hike up to the mountain. I'm doing all this stuff. And then the God says, are you out here to hike? Are you out here to hear me? So it took me like 5 hours to relax. I was up all night. I was so scared. I was scared. I'm a punk when it comes to stuff like that, right? You hear little crickets in the sand. I'm like, what? And I know the animals were just laughing at me the whole time, right? They're like, hey, watch this. So all these little rabbits and mice, and they were all around me. They were just messing with my mind. One over there would go, and I'd be like this. And another one over there, and I'd be like this. So I was up all night. I think I slept like an hour. And I'm walking back and forth. You know, it's windy, and I'm walking. And I say, okay, when I turn around, I'm going to see God. Okay, when I turn around, I'm going to see God. And I did that for like 2 hours. Just Then I heard the coyotes. Like hundreds of them. And I thought they were going to come eat me. But the whole time I was out there, the wind never stopped blowing for 25 hours. The whole time. Sometimes it'd be like this. Other times like this. Other times it was like. It would swirl in circles. My tent would blow. If I went up in the mountains, I could hear it whistling through the rocks. For 25 hours straight, the wind never stopped blowing. I started listening to it. I started sitting. And I started to try to figure out where it was coming from because I could hear it going. And then it would hit me. And then it would go down. And I could hear it coming from somewhere over there. And then I could hear it going somewhere over there. But I could never get it. That's what the Holy Spirit's like. God is always here, but you know what? Sometimes he moves on you, and he says stuff to you, and he actually loves you and encourages you and cleanses you. He's moving, and he'll tell you to do something, stuff. He'll reveal stuff to you that you've never heard before, and you don't know where that stuff comes from, where that feeling comes from, where that idea comes from, where the impulse to pray, the impulse to forgive, and that's what it says here. They're sitting there praying. All of a sudden, from nowhere, from heaven, the Bible says, actually, this wind comes. The Holy Spirit started blowing through, and they were like, whoa, whoa, whoa. I know they must have been tripping. Here it is, because they didn't know what was going to happen. He just said, wait for the Holy Spirit. At least it doesn't say that he told them what it was going to be like.
So they're in there anticipating what's going to happen. It's going to be something's going to happen. It's going to be incredible. All of a sudden, the Bible says when Pentecost had fully come, when everybody was there, all the people from around the world were there, he said, now it's time. And the wind came. Look what it says, a mighty wind. Remember we talked about dunamis power God's going to give you? Dunamis? Not this little breeze. Not a gust. A mighty wind. Do you want a mighty wind of power to come in your life? To blow away your issues, your stress, your discouragement? Do you want a mighty wind of power to come into your heart and empower you to do stuff you never thought you can do? This is what God is. God is a God of doing mighty things. Not necessarily big in size, but important in magnitude. Oh, most definitely. We were at the Scottish Rite the other day having our meetings. And the Masons have their meetings there. Worship service. I don't know what they call it. And the Masons, they have a very opposite theology, if you don't know it. And they came out in their black robes and their hats and their masks. It was ooh. And they walked out. And I was inside, but I saw some of them walking around. And they walked right through our line. They had to go somewhere. I don't think they were just trying to front us, but they walked right through, and everyone saw, whoa, whoa, whoa. They got no wind. We got the mighty wind. And we went in the room, and here we are worshiping God. And someone said, why are we meeting in that place? Well, one, it's the only place God opened up. But let me tell you something. They worship Satan everywhere. Here, everywhere. Where we go, the Lord is. And we have the power. Our power is mighty. So God said, I'm going to send you a mighty wind. And look what it says in verse 3. Then there appeared on them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat on each of them. And they were filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, this is so interesting. People talk about being filled with the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues. Very interesting thing what happened goes on here. First, the tongues of fire. Jesus said, John baptized you with water. I'm going to baptize you with fire. I'm going to purify you with fire. My fire, one, is going to test whether your heart is true. Because as Christians, our deeds are going to be tested with fire. Oh, God, I went to church every Sunday. Let's test it with fire. Let's test your sincerity with fire. Burnt up. You were going for wrong reasons, brother. Oh, God, I tithed faithfully. You did. $2 a week. How much were you making? Ooh, no, you were making more than that, brother. That's why you always broke, because you weren't giving. Oh, God, I prayed. I read my Bible. Ooh, ooh, ooh. Fire is going to proof your heart. Fire is also going to purify your mind. Oh, God, baptize me with fire. Burn me up. Purge the filth in my mind and in my heart. Purge my pride. Purge my issues, my fear, my doubt, my lack of faith. Purge it with fire. Oh, yeah, dunk me in the water. Absolutely. But baptize me spiritually with fire, with your burning fire, your consuming fire. Your consuming fire. You remember when Moses was walking in the desert and he went up to the burning bush? It was on fire, but the Bible says the bush was not consumed. You know what that means? The bush wasn't judged. The fire of God was in that bush, but that bush was still there. That's what we want to be like. We want to be on fire. But we're still there, able to speak, able to preach, able to pray, able to encourage. But God's fire is going. And when you speak God's word to somebody, that his fire touches their heart. Not the fire, your breath. And when I was a young pastor, I used to think people were crying because I was just, the Holy Spirit was convicting them to me. Then I realized it was my breath. Oh, brother, look what they gave me today. Not one, two packs of Mentos. Two. What's up with that? No, I'm like, I'm very glad they did. But I was like, man, help a brother out. But you know what he did? Put tongues on their heads. I'll tell you an interesting thing. In Genesis chapter 6, the Bible says all the people in the world had one language. Their communication was clear. They had one language, and all the people in the world got together, and they went to build a tower to heaven. And you know what they said? We can do anything. Let's build this tower and we'll be the man. We can even reach God. So they started building this tower, and God, the Bible says, God said, what they purposed in their heart, nothing can be withheld from them. If they're united, guess what? They can do anything. You know what God did to disrupt their construction project? All he did was change their language. That's it. He didn't start gossiping the camp. Oh, no. You could fix that. Just fire people. Get out of here. He didn't start dissension or hierarchical problems or pay problems or issues. All he did was he changed languages. Boom, boom. And everyone was babbling to each other. That's why they call it the Tower of Babel. Because one, they're talking the same language. Next thing you know, they're that's what happened. They're working, working, working. All of a sudden, they can't understand each other, and they got frustrated. And you know what the Bible says? God separated them according to language. That's a whole other Bible study I'll do another time. But if you read it, Noah had three sons, and all the people were all his sons, Japheth, Shem, and Ham. They all went with their own families to different parts of the world. That's how he separated them. Ain't that amazing? You know what God's doing here? Watch this. He's using Pentecost to bring all those people back together. He's using Pentecost to bring all those people back together. And then he's going to use tongues, as we're going to see in a minute, to communicate his word to them. Oh, God is sweet. He said, just as before, with language I divided you. Now with language I'm going to unite you. So what he did, he gave him tongues of fire, this spiritual representation of the Holy Spirit. Remember, the Holy Spirit came as a dove, as a wind, now a tongue of fire. And look what it says. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, talk a little bit about tongues here for a minute. As we're going to see in a minute, that these guys were filled with the Holy Spirit. They were waiting and praying for the Holy Spirit. My challenge to you, and I challenged you last week for homework, and do it all the time, is that you continually pray that God, you would continually to be filled. Ephesians 5:18 says, be ye filled continually with the Holy Spirit. That the Holy Spirit just flows over your life. Rivers of living water. Holy Spirit, fill me. We prayed this morning. I was so fired up at that prayer meet coming out of there. Yeah, I'm ready. Let's go, God. Rivers of living water. Touch that person, that person, that person, that person, that person. You need to pray, Lord, fill me up to overflowing. I don't want to just go to church and get a little nugget and, oh, praise the Lord. I want to be filled. So when I go out to work, when I go out here to lunch or to brunch, to play whatever this afternoon, that you're speaking to me. You're not off duty when you leave church. You're not any more off duty than I'm not off duty. I'm on duty 24 hours a day. So are you as a Christian. And it says here that all these guys were filled, and we're going to see in a minute they were given the ability to speak tongues. But the Bible says, as the Spirit gave them utterance. If you look in 1 Corinthians, we're not going to look at these verses right now. But we'll deal with the issue of tongues as a whole later on in the book when they get to the other tongues. But the Spirit gave them the ability, not man. The Spirit gave them ability. But look what it says. And they were dwelling in Jerusalem, devout men from every nation under heaven, when this sound occurred, and the multitude came together, and they were confused because everyone heard them speak in his own language. Now, listen to this. Listen to this. There's an angelic prayer language of speaking in tongues, which I do not have. Wish I did. I totally believe in it, but not everybody has it. But if you say, if God gives you a prayer language to pray in tongues, the language of angels, tongue of angels, great. But this was different. They spoke other human languages. Listen, it's like us here praying, and outside there's Hispanic people from Mexico, there's people from France, there's people from Africa, there's people from Russia, there's people from China, Japan, Indonesia, Singapore, all outside. And all of a sudden this wind comes, and all of a sudden we have the ability to speak those languages. That's what happened. They started preaching the gospel in different languages. Now, because I don't speak in tongues, I can't say that, but I wonder how many people are speaking in tongues, and they're really speaking another language. They don't even know it. If I was able to speak Russian, I have no idea what Russian sounds like. And if God gave me that ability, man, I need to go to Russia every now and then and speak Russian. But in this instance, look what it says. Look what it says in verse 7. In this instance, it says they were all amazed, the people, and marveled, saying, look, aren't these those Galilean dudes? And how is it that we hear in each our own language in which we were born? How is it that these guys are speaking our language? I grew up in New York, as y'all know. And in New York, we have Puerto Ricans. In California, you have Mexicans. But the vast majority of Spanish people in New York are Puerto Rican, Dominican Republic, whatever. But they come from that side of the country and the islands, et cetera. And Puerto Rican people are very different from Mexican people. Mexican people are more laid back, and they're, you know, Puerto Rican, just high energy, just fire, on fire. And if you ever see Puerto Rican people, if you know anything about it, you can have a Puerto Rican person that is very, very light skin. I mean, I know several Puerto Rican guys we used to call Casper because they were so white. And then you have Puerto Rican people that are as dark as the darkest African-American person or African person you would ever see with an afro, kinky. They're Puerto Rican. So you could go in New York and think that you're talking to a black dude, right? Say, yo, what's up, man? And he starts throwing on Spanish to you. And you're like, what? And at first, if you're not accustomed to knowing Puerto Rican people, you think, why is that dude speaking Spanish? He's straight up Puerto Rican. Straight up Puerto Rican. And there are several cultures like that where people look so different. That's what. But if you don't know that, you're like, how is he speaking Spanish? Because he's Spanish. You know what? That's what happened here. God supernaturally gave these guys and disciples the ability to speak human languages they never knew. That's what happened on Pentecost. And if someone starts saying, hey, man, the Holy Spirit came and filled Pentecost. You need to speak in tongues. You need to ask them, well, what language? Because on Pentecost, God gave these people the ability to speak human language. And look what it says in verse 7. They were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, look, are not all these Galileans who speak? And how is it that we hear in our own language in which we were born? You know what some people think? Well, maybe they just heard in their own language. No. God gave them the ability to speak those languages. Supernatural. And the reason I want to emphasize this is because so many times people want to emphasize speaking in tongues. So many times want to emphasize the gift instead of the purpose of the gift. No one's going to heaven because they speak in tongues. If I go learn Spanish, okay, and I become fluent in Spanish and you don't know it, and one day we start have a prayer meeting and I start rattling off some Spanish to you, oh, he's speaking in tongues. He's speaking in tongues. Yes, I learned it from my teacher. But you know, if I never learned Spanish and I was in a meeting in Mexico or somewhere where people spoke Spanish, and all of a sudden God said, you don't need a translator today. Are you going to worship the fact that I can speak Spanish? Are you going to worship the message of the Spanish? And that's what happened here. Look at verse 11, because here is the purpose. It says, Cretans and Arabs, and this is the end of all the countries they listed. Look what it says. We hear them speaking in our own tongue. The wonderful works of God. That was the point. God put all these Christians in a place and said, wait and pray. And when I'm going to send the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit came, fire came on them, and they started speaking in different languages. What? Because they wanted the people in that place to be able to hear the wonderful works of God. This is what happened. It's not about tongues. It's about getting the gospel to the whole world. The Bible says that every tongue will confess and every knee will bow that Jesus is Lord. Well, how? Because every tongue is going to hear it in their own language and be able to understand it, and everybody's going to be responsible to speak it. That's why he started this. Now, why are we here together today? It's so we can do that same thing. Receive the gospel and then go preach the gospel. And I don't mean preach on the corner and repent, sinner. But you know what? To sit down and tell your friends and family that they need Jesus Christ. To sit down and tell your friends and family they need Jesus Christ. I want to put a number in your head. 30. Everybody say 30. Every single one of us, the average people, average person, has about 30 people in their life that's in their circle. A lot of them, some of them, hopefully, are non-Christian. That's who you need to be praying for. You don't have to go up on a corner and have the fear of talking to people you don't know. They are people you know. People you work with, work for. People you go to school with. People your teachers, your classmates. People who work for you who don't know God. Guess what? Your responsibility is to talk to them. And I don't care if you're a little kid here today. If you're a little kid here today, there's kids on your soccer team, baseball team, who are going to hell today. And you need to share the gospel with them now. That's why God gave us the Holy Spirit, to empower us to do his work. And some of y'all here today, and guess what? You were sitting here today saying, listen, I want that Holy Spirit. Not only so I can speak in another language, because that may not happen, but so that I could be forgiven, so that I could have power to be what God called me to be. And you know what church means? It means ecclesia. It means God took people out of the world to be his very own bride so that he can use that bride to bring more people into his family so that bride can represent him. That's us. That's us. And when you read through this and you see these guys were praying and these women were praying and waiting for God to send the Holy Spirit, and God sent the Holy Spirit, and guess what? He gave them supernatural abilities to preach the gospel. For us, it's not only speaking in languages, but it's speaking boldly, clearly, biblically, with biblical insight and accuracy, with discernment when you're speaking to someone that the Holy Spirit would say, oh no, don't say that, say this. Some of y'all got family members that you're trying to get saved. Guess what? Sometimes you need to say nothing. Because they're just tired of you yakking away. You know what you need to do? You need to say, I'm going to pray for them. Let me tell you something. You want to have some fun? You want to have some fun? Pick a person out that you want to get saved and just pray them to death. Say, God, I'm praying for Jimmy. Jimmy Smith, let me make it easy. He lives on 111 Mary Jane Lane. You know Jimmy. He works at this place, got this kind of car, got this kind of grass in front of his house, and that tree that's dead in the back. I'm praying that that guy gets saved, and don't give up. And you say, Holy Spirit, I know you're in me. I know you have power on him. Go. And Jimmy's going to start to... You doing something to me? You know what the Bible says? It's the Bible when they were 10 lepers and they came to ask Jesus for healing. And the Bible says when they were walking down the street, lepers, if they were really sick, they were just sickly. Their feet would, you know, get diseased and their legs would get, their voice was all jacked up and they're walking. The Bible says while they walked, they were healed. Imagine. Hey! Hey! Hey, I look good. Look at me. You start praying for people. You start praying for people. Some of y'all in here, guess what? You need God to touch you. You don't need money. You don't need a degree. You don't need a new job. You need God. In a minute, you're going to have an opportunity to say, God, you know what? If that Jesus was born and he died on that cross for me, and he rose from the dead, and I can have that Holy Spirit change my life, I want it. We're going to give you that opportunity that you would say, Jesus, please forgive me my sin. Some of y'all are dealing with stuff, and you've been dealing with stuff all your life. Guess what? It ain't going to go away by itself. It's not going to go away. God wants to deliver you. He wants to love you and forgive you. I was watching the Explorer channel, animal thing. And they were doing this special on monkeys and chimpanzees and thinking, trying to figure out, do they think? Okay? And so they put this mirror in front of these chimpanzees. And the chimpanzees at first thought their reflection was another chimp. So they started playing with the reflection. It was funny. And so the little chimps, they do that for a long time, weeks. But when they get older, they start to realize, you know what? That's me. And they start, they never seen themselves. They start picking in, you know, the nose and teeth and the hair. And they can feel it as me. And you could see them discover themselves. And they're, you know, doing this with their eye, teeth. Then they do this. And they they realize it's them. Then there was a rhesus monkey. The rhesus monkeys never figure out it's them. They said they put a mirror in front of a monkey for 15 years. And the brother was like, fighting it, trying to bite it. He's hitting his head up on the mirror, trying to. Hey, he ain't got it up here. Elevator don't go all the way up. But he never figured it out. So they realized he don't think that well. But the chimpanzees, they realized they could think, they could reason. But then they showed another monkey, and I don't know the name of it, but I think it was a macaque, but I could be very wrong. But let's just say a macaque for now. And the macaques, when they are in the wild and one macaque finds food, he will start to yell to the other macaques, I got food, and they all come running. So they were trying to figure out, is this an instinct thing, or are they thinking, we have food, and I want to alert everybody else that we have food? So what they did is they found one macaque by himself, and they put food out for him to see what he would do. What'd he tell everybody? So this was funny. He was like this. He was looking around. He went, he was checking out. No one's around. I'm by myself. He looked at the food, and you could see him thinking. And his eyes would go up, and his whole head would move because he was like, his ears would move. He's like, I could get my grub on. So he goes over by himself, and he's grubbing. He's eating, having a good old time. And he keeps looking around to see if any of his boys see him doing this. And and then one starts coming over. And so he real quick gets a couple more quick bites, and he grabs all the food and runs away by himself. And the one that came over, he was like looking at him like, oh, we gonna get him. In their little society, if you do not tell everybody that there's food or tell everybody that the enemy's coming, something positive, if you don't want and communicate, they beat you up. That's the rule. There's punishment. I was thinking about that. And they said, they concluded that these animals do think. You know what? We think, right? Do we think? Do we have something good to know that we know? It ain't food. It's Jesus. Do we have something good that we know that Jesus forgives people? He changes their life? This is true. I was talking to a pastor friend this morning, and we were talking about preaching. He called me up early in the morning. I said, what are you calling me now for? We started talking about preaching, and I said, look, we got to continue to preach not what we think people want to hear and not only what we think people will believe, just the truth. When you share the gospel, you don't tell people what you think they're going to accept or what you think they're going to believe. You tell them fact. You let them deal with that. And the fact is today that every single one of us need Christ, and the fact is today that he has given us his Holy Spirit for a purpose. Look at verse 11. Here's the purpose. We hear them speaking in our own language the wonderful works of God. Get out your little piece of paper for your homework. Get out your homework on your bulletin. If you don't know, look in your bulletin in the flap. There's a stonework slip. You can put this in your Bible and carry it around all week long. Here is your homework. Monkey see, monkey do. Here's your homework. Monkey see, monkey do. Right in the stonework, it says right here, look what it looks. It looks just like this, y'all. If you can't find it, it looks just like this in the flap. You could tear it off, and you could write in this and put it in your Bible, carry it around in your car. Here's your homework. Your homework is verse 11, Acts 2:11. Acts 2:11. Acts 2:11, tell somebody of the mighty works of God. Tell somebody.
Tell somebody Acts 2:11. Tell somebody something God, something gospel goodness. Tell them about Jesus. Tell them about how he forgave you, healed you, encouraged you. And guess what? Your family does not count, and your Christian friends don't count. And anybody sitting in this room doesn't count. Do you hear what I'm saying to you? I went to a conference the other day. I heard a pastor speak. And after I heard him speak, I felt like I never shared a gospel compared to his commitment to sharing a gospel. I was like, man, I'm not doing anything. And I sat there going, man, my fire was lit. I think what came out of it was God asking me, how far are you willing to go to get people saved? How far are you willing to go? All y'all in here, you have to ask yourself the same question. What are you willing to do to get people saved? From now until the day I die, we are going to push that issue. Hopefully you don't get tired of it because you're doing it. But you're not going to hear me stop saying it. We got to share the gospel. Your homework is to tell somebody this week of the wonderful works of God. Hey, look what Jesus did for me. Hey, look how he rose from the dead, died for my sin, healed me. And you don't have to preach it where, hey, you need to get saved necessarily. You know what you could say is, I want to tell you something that I went through. Share your testimony. And guess what? You can't mess it up. You can't mess it up. Just the fact that you say it, your heart's going to be pounding. You're going to be so scared. Just say it. That's one step. And every day you're going to take another step to share the gospel. Some of y'all in here who are not saved, I have to tell you this. I'm like that little macaque. I got some. Jesus loves you. And he wants your life, your whole life. And he wants your heart. He wants you to confess him as your Savior. He wants you to surrender your life and humble yourself before him. Uh-huh. And he wants you to do it today. Because you may not live to see tomorrow. He wants you to do it today. In a minute, we're going to bow our heads and pray. And I'm going to ask all you people who are already saved to be praying for the people who aren't. Pray that they would make a decision. But if you have never asked Jesus to be your Savior, you're going through something today and you want prayer, I'm telling you, you have to receive this. Let's all bow our heads and pray. Dear Lord God, thank you for sending your Holy Spirit. And Holy Spirit, I pray you move in this place like a mighty wind, like a mighty force. Lord, empower us to speak the mighty things of God this week. Challenge us. Put people in our face who simply say, can you tell me something about God? But Lord, there are people here today possibly who are not saved. They want to be forgiven. They want to repent. They want to receive your Spirit to encourage them, to empower them. If that's you today, pray with me in the privacy of your heart. But as you pray, you must believe and you must know that God loves you passionately. In the privacy of your heart, pray, dear God, I believe that I'm a sinner. I believe my sin needs forgiveness. I believe you were born of a virgin, that you died on the cross, and that you rose from the dead. And I believe that you want to send your Holy Spirit into my heart. Jesus, please forgive me of all my sin. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. I want to be born all over again. I want to receive power from heaven to be another person, the person you created me to be. Thank you, Jesus. I surrender my life to you. As all of our eyes are closed and our heads are bowed, if you prayed that prayer to ask Jesus to be your Savior, and today, you want him to cleanse you of your sin. Right now, stand to your feet. Right now. stand to your feet and acknowledge that. God bless you. Stay standing, please. Good. Congratulations. God bless you. Congratulations. Good. God bless you. God has spoken to you, and he's still speaking to you. God bless you. And he's calling you right now. Stand to your feet if you prayed that and you want Jesus this morning to forgive you of your sin. Anybody else? Stand to your feet. Good. God bless you. Good. Good. God is moving through this room like that wind, and he's spoken to you, and he's purifying your sin right now. And if you've asked him, now it's time for you to act, because this is a relationship that's never going to end, so it starts right now with you obeying him. Anybody else, stand to your feet right now. Good, good. Now we're going to ask all you people who are standing to do one more thing. We're going to ask you, as we congratulate you and encourage you, step out of your seat and come right down here to the altar. Let's encourage them. Come on down here right now, right here to the altar. Come on. God bless you.
Come, just as you are.
Come on up here. Hey, what's up? Come on up here from over there.
Come just as you are.
Come on up here. Come on up here and get some good stuff.
Just as you are.
For these people, and I pray you bless them, that you fill them to overflowing, that your fire will purify them of their fears and their pain and their past, give them a new start. We thank you for this little guy right here, that you would anoint him and bless him with your Holy Spirit and baptize this little kid. May he be on fire for you for the rest of his life. And may all these people here, Lord, receive everything you have for them. May you empower them with dunamis power to change. Lord, there are people in this room standing still by their seat. They're saved, but they know they need more power. They need to be more obedient. They need to take you seriously and know this is more than just Sunday morning sitting in a room. They need to know that your Holy Spirit is guiding and directing every day if they would let you. That you want to empower them and teach them and shape them and change them to be another person. Lord, I thank you for all the people here who are committed to you and excited about what you're going to do in their life. What you're going to do in this church as a whole is one thing, but what you're going to do in each individual life, in their relationships, in their jobs, in their finances, in the places where they live, what they study in school, what they're going to be when they grow up. Lord, that's exciting. Lord, bless every aspect of their life. You say that if we are obedient, you will bless every aspect of our life. Every aspect. Lord, I pray for the Rockhead on Wednesday, that those people would be there on fire again, and that you will continue to shape their mind, their future. Show them things they've never seen. Tell them things they've never heard. You say if we call to you, you will show us great and mighty things that we've never heard. That's true. That's what the Bible says. We need to look for those things and to learn new things, to be a new person. Lord, thank you for your faithfulness. In Jesus' name, amen. All you people down here, the Bible says that God has forgiven you of all your sin, every single one of you. It's all gone. And because of that, you're a different person. Guess what? That means you got to change. But God is going to do the changing. It's all in his book. He is going to do the changing, and you have to allow him to do the changing. You have to allow him to be God. He makes up the rules. Nobody else. He is God. We're going to take you to out the room and give you a Bible and give you a book to read. I want you to read this book. And for all of you, your homework this week is tell somebody the mighty things of God. Tell somebody. We're going to lead these people out. I pray to all of you would just stay right there so they can get out real quickly. Let's give them a hand. Encourage them. Walk this way. Let them walk that way. God bless you.